Hello, hello, and welcome to our fourth podcast on the Bien Quo Show. Today, we're going to be discussing some sports again, as always. Some UCLA, Giants, Dodgers, NBA free agency, the World Cup, and then maybe some fun topics. And we'll end up with our favorite, the Mary Boff Kill Series, Week 2.
It's going to be a short podcast this week because we're taping this pretty late on a Wednesday night, and we kind of have things to do tomorrow and can't really go the normal length. So we're going to keep it to about 30, 35 minutes or so this week.
Yeah. We're obviously failing at our attempts to do this over the weekend.
It's really tough. I mean, our schedules are pretty booked.
They are.
I don't know if it's tough for us to find some time to do this.
Yeah, and consequently, we're just grouchy and tired when we end up talking. So yeah. Our quality suffers. But
than usual.
Exactly. So jumping right in, the Giants managed to choke away three games. I guess they didn't really choke them away, but they lost three straight games.
Yeah, it was a pretty pathetic display.
And I don't honestly, besides the one with Casey Blake hitting a walk-off home run, none of them were really close at all. I mean,
they didn't really play well. I mean, they were making errors. They weren't hitting in the correct situations, and you know, they just did not play well. And they kind of gave the Dodgers that series.
Yeah, it's disheartening that happened at home, because it's one thing if you do that on the road. Not that it's excusable, but it's, you know, more understandable. But at home, the Giants are usually a great team. And they really, I mean, they had, they threw out their Kane, Sanchez, and Zito, and Matt Kane now is 0-8 against the Dodgers. Yeah. I have no idea why.
The Dodgers own Matt Kane. For some reason, yeah, they just own Matt Kane. You just own certain guys, and Matt Kane is the guy that they own the most. It sucks for him.
That's really frustrating. I mean, I think the Giants are in a bit of a... It's a dangerous time because they're limping towards the All-Star break, and if they, you know, if they really sink here in the last week, they're really digging themselves a hole that's going to be tough to get out of for the second half.
We're almost at the halfway point now. We're at like 70 something games played, and
yep,
you know, it's getting time to clamp down.
Exactly. I saw Matt Kemp got benched.
Yeah, you know what? I couldn't be happier about this series, because not only did we sweep the Giants, but it came off a monumental collapse on Sunday night on a game that I went to against the New York Yankees, where Broxton gave up four runs in the ninth. And Matt Kemp was benched for that game as well. He only came in as a late-inning defensive replacement. But you know, this feels really good. This is definitely what the Dodgers needed. And apparently the rest was what Matt Kemp needed, because he was 2-for-4 last night. And today he was, I think, 3-for-4 with a home run and 3 RBIs. So, you know, that rest.
He's stepping up his game.
Yeah, he had a meeting. He called a meeting with Torrey before the game today. And they had a little, you know, hashing out. And so apparently whatever Matt Kemp was going through, whether it was Rihanna or his new contract or whatever, he seems to have worked through it these last 2 days.
I knew you were going to bring up Rihanna, Steve.
It's just so fun because, you know, it's always the Lakers or the Yankees that date, you know, hot actresses. It's never the Dodgers. And now it's finally happened, and it just makes me so happy.
So I want to give you two pieces of information here. The first one, these are Dodger related, but, you know, not related to each other. So I don't know if you saw the Dodgers in this most recent draft took Zach Lee.
Yeah,
who is,
they
like
punted that pick
out of high school
completely.
And, exactly. And
yeah,
I wanted to know how you felt about that, because I think that's,
well, how I do think you think I feel about it, Paul?
Well, I think you feel terrible about that. I'm willing to say that it's not a bad move, because this draft class is really weak, and apparently next year is supposed to be a lot better. But I also feel like it's kind of misleading to, you know, blatantly flaunt it like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, how does it work? If you don't sign your first round pick, do you get a sandwich pick the next year or something? Or
Your pick rolls over the next year.
Okay.
So they'll get to select whatever, 18th or something like that.
Okay.
They'll get that again next year, and obviously they won't. as long as they don't sign Zach Lee this year.
Well, that kind of cushions the blow, and they won't sign him because Frank McCourt is a cheap bastard, and you know, he purposely picked this guy because they knew he was going to go to LSU to play football, and that there was no chance he was going to sign with the Dodgers. Yeah. So he basically punted this pick to give himself an excuse to say, oh, he was unsignable. Well, you knew that going in, and you still picked him, you idiot.
It's either challenging the intelligence of the Dodger fan base, which, might I add here,
and
is a reasonable test.
Fine, I'll give you that. But still, it's indefensible for, you know, those 10% of us Dodger fans who aren't complete morons. You know, we see right through McCourt's little schemes.
That's
and
true.
His attempts to save money in wake of his pending divorce trial.
Yes. The other Dodger tidbit I had was the explosion of Carlos Santana in Cleveland.
Oh, I was really hoping you wouldn't mention Carlos Santana.
Carlos Santana this year has as many home runs and as many doubles as Russ Martin. And he's doing it with
Corpse formerly known as Russell Martin?
Exactly. Russell Martin, he of the 250 batting average, while Santana's raking 340 with four bombs and 10 doubles. And I think he's got like 12 walks and only 7 strikeouts or something like that, too.
Jeez.
All that being said, Casey Blake just hit a go-ahead 2-run homer off the Giants a few days ago, so I can't really rub that in too much.
Yeah, look, here's what I feel about this. I am really sad that we gave up Carlos Santana. He looks like he's going to become the next Victor Martinez, or even better.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, we wouldn't have made the last two NLCSs without Casey Blake. He was kind of the mature core, the veteran core of those two teams the last 2 years. You know, it definitely wasn't Manny. Casey Blake was kind of the dude that held the young guys together. So, the Dodgers had never gotten that far since 1988, so it's hard for me to completely regret this trade because of what Casey Blake has done. But at the same time, you know, I hate to have given up a future All-Star catcher, especially since Russell Martin is just so pathetic and can't do anything nowadays. It pains me to watch him bat.
Yeah.
It's just, every time he comes up, it's an automatic out. It's just so painful. I don't know. I have to turn away when he comes up.
Well, as someone who, as a Giants fan who recently, this is a brilliant segue, by the way, who just dumped their brilliant catcher / corpse in Benji Molina earlier tonight, actually.
Breaking news.
We break news here on the Bianco Show. If you haven't heard yet, Benji Molina has been traded to.
So those of you who are listening, you know, in the middle of next week, you know, this is still breaking news. Just don't worry about it. We got it first.
Exactly. So Molina is on his way to Texas in exchange for Chris Wray, who used to be the closer for the Baltimore Orioles and a player to be named later. In my opinion, this is a great move for the Giants. Buster Posey obviously has slowed down a little bit, but you know, he is the catcher of the future, and he's only going to get better if he plays. So this is a necessary move to make. You know, Molina, with his time with the Giants, I don't know if I've ever seen someone be so sensitive, he's not childish, but he just needs so much attention. His feelings are always hurt whenever anyone would talk about Buster, and he needed to be out there playing, and no one appreciated him. And so Molina's a good guy, and he's a good catcher, and he's obviously caught the staff well, but I think the time has come to move on.
Yeah, he's a quality guy.
He's a good guy, but he is also the slowest base runner in all of baseball.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is unbelievably slow. Like, if it is in the infield, he's out no matter what. If it's in the outfield, it's probably a single. Like, there's no way he's getting to second base. I think dislikes hitting balls in the gaps because it means he has to run. I mean, he would much rather just stop at first.
Right. Well,
I'm pretty happy he's going.
You can really only have one fat guy per team, and you guys already have filled your fat guy quota with Pablo. So it's good to get rid of Benji, I think. Especially now that Buster
and we already have
every day.
Exactly. And we already have like five guys who'll swing at every single pitch anyway. We don't need Molina to do that. I think everyone's gonna have you now.
Who plays first base every day now? Is it Ishikawa, Bowker?
Probably move Huff back to first.
Right. Forgot about him.
Yeah. And now there's theoretically some outfield depth, which I think this is why the trade was okay to happen, is that, you know, Buster can move behind the plate and Huff can move to first, which is where he should be. And then in the outfield, there's a combination of Burrell, Torres, Rowand, and Sheerholtz. No one is outstanding out there, but everyone is decent enough.
AKA the poo-poo platter deluxe.
Exactly. Which is better than the traditional Giants outfield of just straight up trash. So I'll take it. It's definitely an
upgrade over Randy Wynn and Rajah Davis.
Yeah. Don't even get me started on those. Eugenio Velez.
Eugenio Velez.
Eugenio. But sticking with the baseball theme, the UCLA Bruins, despite coming into the College World Series as the overwhelming favorites, managed to lose both games to the South Carolina Gamecocks and failed to deliver championship number 107 or 108.
It is. It would have been 107, yeah. And they have never won one in baseball.
It's kind of surprising, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know how many sports they haven't won, but they've won a championship in more sports than they haven't won, definitely. And it's really surprising that baseball is one of them, considering they've had so many good players come through, like Chase Utley, Eric Karros, you know, Troy Glaus, Garrett Atkins,
Garrett Atkins, yep.
Yeah, they've got some good players coming through there, and they've
Jackie Robinson too.
Yeah, way back in the day. The most famous Bruin of them all, possibly.
Exactly, the ultimate Bruin.
Yeah.
It's kind of a sad showing, and I think, I was surprised because they really had those aces at the top of the staff. Trevor Bauer never got in there, but Cole really blew up the first game, and then a little defensive lapse and a stupid, I don't know, did SB break his hand when he punched that bench yesterday? I don't know, that was just a dumb move.
I don't know. I didn't watch the game, but,
Did you hear what happened?
Well, yeah, I didn't hear about how they fell apart at the end, no.
Oh, so basically, I missed this too, but in the eighth inning, they were up 1-0 and committed an error to let the run score, and it was 1-1. And when they came off the field, the first baseman who had booted the ball or missed the ball went to the bench and punched it and basically knocked himself out of the game because he couldn't hit after that. And so they had to use a sub to get him out of there, which is like, you know, the traditional like Kevin Brown, Angelo thing. But then that never happened to Kevin Brown when it was like.
Both of those cases, by the way, a result of roid rage. So you've got to wonder with this guy.
That's true. But this is an elimination game in like the College World Series in the ninth inning. It's like, yeah. Can't you save that for later?
It does suck. It's disappointing. It would have been nice to win in the wake of John Wooden's passing. It would have been sweet and poetic.
It would have.
But if you look at the future for the Bruins, Garrett Cole and Trevor Bauer are only sophomores, and you got to think that they're only going to be better next year.
They should be better. And I think a lot of the bats are younger players. So UCLA baseball is looking up. I think next year will be another great year.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we can get back to Omaha next year. I think we've got a pretty good chance.
Do you want to make that trip out there, Steve? It's only like 109 degrees every day.
If you drive, sure.
We'll see about that. I'm not sure. next on the list, we're doing pretty well here. We're going to move pretty quickly. Next on the list is the USA, unfortunately getting ousted at the World Cup in a heartbreaking 2-1 loss to Ghana. This leaves me with very, very mixed feelings. First of all, I have come to enjoy soccer more than I ever thought I would. I'm not a huge fan. I'm not knowledgeable, but I definitely started to really enjoy watching the U.S. Maybe not the other teams, but the U.S. And what I thought was really interesting was kind of the drastic swing in emotions. So, you know, you go from the emotional highs of beating Algeria and sneaking into, you know, winning the group, and suddenly it was like this huge triumph, and Bob Bradley was the perfect coach for the U.S. team because of his like no-nonsense behavior and everything. And then the U.S. comes, they lose to Ghana, and suddenly it's this massive disappointment where Bob Bradley's job is on the line. You know, maybe the team underachieved. They were the most talented team and didn't perform as well as they could have. And I think all that stuff might or might not be true. But what really gets me is that in a game like soccer, where there's only one goal that usually separates the winner and the loser in this type of situation, that you can come to such drastic conclusions off of that one goal, which could easily be like a breakdown or a lucky play.
Those huge emotions, I think, are pretty unique to soccer, because nothing really happens. And when something does happen, it's of such a huge consequence that your entire psyche can just flip on a dime and do a complete 180.
Exactly.
Not even between games, even mid game, you know, when Ghana scored that second goal, you could see the life just go out of all the USA.
Crushing. Absolutely. It's one of those things where it's like, you know, if Ghana doesn't hit that, if they don't make that goal and the US, you know, gets a breakaway, a counterattack, and they score, you know, suddenly we're talking about how great the U.S. team was again, and how, you know, how much resilience they had. Not to say that we don't say that anyway, but, you know, Bob Bradley is suddenly like the perfect guy again.
Yeah.
I think
no one's calling for his job.
Yeah. It's got to be more about the process than the results to me. And I think, you know, generally speaking, the process was pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's kind of, I'm not saying that there's not a better coach out there, but it's just kind of tough to see it swing like that.
Yeah, he definitely effed up on the starting lineups. But
that's true.
There's so much luck involved when one singular event can change the entire outcome of game.
Yeah.
You know, that you can't really put all of the blame on Bob Bradley. You know, a lot of it has to go on the players. And, you know, a lot of credit has to be given to Ghana. They played really well in that game.
They did. And that's one. So there's two things that kind of bug me here. One is the concept of, like, if someone scores in the 70th minute to, like, take the lead, then suddenly the game is, like, over. It's not that it's over, but, like, you know, everyone kind of says,
they'd start doing the dive every 2 minutes.
And exactly. And that's my next point. It's like, you know, that dude on Ghana.
Oh, God.
First of all, he tried
so
to do like a bicycle kick on his own, untouched, landed on the ground, you know, was writhing in pain, couldn't move, like took 3 minutes to just get a stretcher out there, gets on the stretcher, like, you know, they take him out of bounds, he hops off immediately, you know, he's perfectly fine.
And then he jumps up and then starts running back on the field. It's
exactly
a complete embarrassment.
And then they sub him out and he has to like walk slowly across the entire field. And it's just like, I mean, that's just, I can't deal with that.
It's
like,
preposterous.
It's just stupid.
It's a Travis Sham mockery on every level.
Exactly. So that's, I mean, I understand. I'm not blaming Ghana at all, because, you know, very much the U.S. would do that or not.
Oh, yeah.
Team
every team would do that. But maybe not just that level. I mean, I feel like America is different than every other country because of our culture, and we don't really dive as much as countries. But we
besides
would
Clint Dempsey going down every single time.
Well, yeah, Clint Dempsey is the one exception. But, yeah, I could see, you know, basically every other country in the world doing the exact same thing. So it's hard to fault Ghana for acting the way they did.
We'll just fault soccer in general.
I kind of want to rip on Josie, though. Josie didn't score a single goal this entire World Cup. He only scored one goal for Hull City all year this year. I don't know why this guy is so highly touted. Sure, he's big, but he doesn't get any results. I mean,
he just feels really raw to me. I don't know anything about soccer, but I just feel like he's kind of, not that he's like, he's kind of like a brute, you know? He's like really talented athletically, and he's only 20. So I mean,
people always say that he's only 20, but you look at a guy like Messi, who's only like 22, 23, and you know, that's not that much of an age difference where you could justify that much difference in skill. You know, Josie, you know, and soccer players in general, they usually peak like tennis players do in their early mid-20s. So, it's not like baseball players where they peak like 28 to 30. So, you know, Josie's got to step it up. I think he's way overrated. I think he's just a victim. He's a result of the American hype machine needing someone that they can look at as a physical specimen and then wow over.
And where's Freddie Adu these days?
Freddy Adu has completely fallen off the face of the earth. What a fraud that guy turned out to be.
Yeah, that guy was like the, he's like the Danny Almonte of soccer.
Yeah, he was like 5'6" at age 16 or something, and he stopped growing. And the rest of his age group just caught up to him, and he just wasn't able to do as much, I think.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Well, I just had a little highlight montage on TV of LeBron James dunking like 47 times. So,
are you watching ESPN right now?
I am watching ESPN
right
now.
Yeah, so am I.
Okay. Well, maybe we should talk about LeBron and the impending – there's only – it actually, free agency is open now, isn't it?
It is. It opened midnight. A little over an hour ago, midnight East Coast time. So yeah, they are free to talk to teams now.
Let's do predictions, Steve. Where do you think everyone's?
Yeah. By the way, let's just say ESPN has been beating this to death. They have been 24/7 nonstop free agency talk. I don't know if you saw, but Kornheiser, Wilbon, Lebatard, and Simmons had a free agency summit.
Did they really?
Yeah, it was like a half-hour show where they all sat in the dark room and they just talked over each other for half an hour. It was a terrible, terrible half hour of television. But you know, ESPN definitely pulling out all the stops to hype up these free agencies.
They are.
But so you want to do predictions? Let's do predictions.
I would love to do predictions. Let's pick a player, and we'll say where they're gonna end up.
Okay, let's start out with the big guy, LeBron James.
Okay. I think he's going to go to Chicago. I think that I think at this point they're all pretty even. I don't really think anyone's ahead, but Chicago makes a lot of sense financially, makes a lot of sense, you know, in a marketing way, makes sense as a team. I could see him going other places. I think if he goes to Cleveland, it's going to be kind of boring.
Yeah,
I don't think he'll ever go to Miami.
I initially thought he was going to stay in Cleveland, but with all that has been, you know, passed around these last few weeks, I don't think that's the case anymore. I think he's definitely leaving now.
Yeah, I think the big thing is that you can't see Cleveland really winning.
Yeah.
At all, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
especially if someone like Dwayne Wade ends up, you know, getting like an Amari or a Bosch or something.
See, that's the thing. Yeah, I don't think this is why I think he's going to end up in Miami with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosch. The ESPN showed a little graphic with their cap expert earlier saying that Miami only has two guys under contract right now for next season.
Yeah, Chalmers and Beasley.
Yeah, and if they trade Beasley away in a sign and trade for Chris Bosch, they could get Wade, Bosch, and LeBron and still be under the cap. But
that's true.
If you're LeBron and Dwayne Wade gets someone to pair up with him like Amari or – I mean, Bosch and LeBron are pretty much going to stay together, it seems like. Mm-hmm. But if Dwayne Wade gets like Amari or, you know, Joe Johnson Boozer and Carlos Boozer, you know, do you as LeBron really want to be competing against him for championships every year? I mean – you know, it's better to just join forces with Dwayne Wade, and you're basically, you know, penciled in for the championship instead of having
true.
To compete against him.
I don't doubt that. You know, if LeBron, Chris Bosh, and Dwayne Wade joined forces, they would just wreck. I also think that that's not going to happen. I think there's like a very small chance of LeBron going to Miami just because of ego. I really can't. LeBron has always been the man, like the alpha dog. Not only on his team, but in the entire league with his entire reputation, his legacy, everything. And even, you know, even if Dwayne Wade, both players, Dwayne Wade and LeBron, are pretty unselfish as actual basketball players.
But if you really want to win, you know, as you have said in interviews before, Miami is the best place to go, right?
I agree, but I think if he goes to Chicago, he can still win. With Derrick Rose, if he gets Bosch. If he doesn't get Bosch,
Bosch is key. He has to come along with him.
Right. But if he gets, I mean, if you're throwing out Bosch, Derrick Rose, LeBron James, and pains me to say it, Joakim Noah, that will be better than anything that Dwayne Wade could put together, in my opinion. Like, the best Wade could do is he would get at that point, like, Wade, Boozer, and, like, Joe Johnson.
I agree.
Which would still be really good, but I think I still would see Chicago winning.
And you know, that'll be a good team, but will they be good enough to beat the Lakers?
So here's my follow-up question for you. Would you rather have LeBron and Chris Bosh or Gasol and Kobe?
I'd have to go with – I mean, look, I'm probably really biased here, so it's hard for me to give an objective opinion, but I would go with Kobe and Gasol because they have the track record of winning two rings together already, and, you know, LeBron and Chris Bosh have not won anything.
Yeah, that's fair. But that said, did Gasol or Kobe win anything on their own before they joined forces?
Well, you know, that's fair also. But I'm being biased, remember? So I'm glad to make that pick.
Yeah, no, that's because the way that I see it is that Chris Bosh and Gasol, to me, are very similar in the sense that they are outstanding number two players.
Like, right. They're not, you know, number one guys, right?
Right. They're on that Pippen level of being, like, really, really, really good. Like, the star on a
right. Hall of Fame number two guys.
Exactly. Like the star of a playoff, but like 8 seed team that like just can't get out of the first round. They're both on that level and they're both kind of similar in that they're both big men who are kind of have unique skill sets. You know, Bosh is a great handler, inside outside player. Gasol is just a fantastic passer, fantastic finisher. You know, I've come to really enjoy watching Pau Gasol play, much to my pain.
He's very skilled.
He's so skilled. He's a joy to watch. It's really tough for me to say that, but he's a joy to watch.
Yeah, I think he's the best offensive center in the league.
I think so, too. I mean, he's just – the things he does, seven-footers just shouldn't be able to do that, you know?
Yeah.
And he plays with so much, like – I mean, yeah, he needs to muck it up. He needs to get stronger. But, like, you shouldn't write off the things he can do because he does some things that are just incredible for a man his size.
Yeah.
Damn it, now this became a slobber fest over Pau Gasol. That's not what I wanted to go with here. We only predicted LeBron. Okay, let's do the other ones really fast.
Okay, we got Dwayne Wade next.
Wade, Miami?
Yeah, Miami. I mean, he's okay. Basically staying, right?
Yeah, and then, so Bosh, you going to say goes to Miami also?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, look, is this probably what's going to happen? Maybe, maybe not. But if they really want to win, this is what they should do. You know, Miami has like 4 second-round picks this year. They can sign those guys. They'll have the big three with Mario Chalmers, and then they just need to fill out their roster with like 4 or 5 veterans for the veterans minimum. And I think you can win a championship with that team.
Yeah. Well, not only that, because they'll get guys at the veterans minimum who are good players, better than they should be. You know
yeah.
What I mean?
I mean,
willing to take the pay cut to be on a, you know, a contending title team.
Yes.
So I mean, I'm gonna go with Bosh going to Chicago because I think he goes with LeBron, and I think Chicago gets kind of nasty. Those four is a pretty scary quartet, right? I guess is the right word.
They would be the immediate favorite in the East, even if Miami ended up with Amari or Boozer or something.
Okay, so you're gonna say, where would you say Amari and Boozer go then?
I would say Amari goes to the Knicks.
Okay.
To be with Mike D'Antoni again.
Okay.
And I would say Boozer ends up with the Nets with Joe Johnson.
I like that. I'm going to mix them up a little bit. I'm going to say I think Amari ends up in Miami because only Wade's there right now for me. I think that for whatever reason, he's from Florida. He just feels like a guy who should be in Miami. I don't know why. Joe Johnson, to me, I think, God, I don't know where he goes. I think Boozer ends up in New Jersey also. I think David Lee ends up back in New York. I think Dirk ends up back in Dallas.
Yeah, I don't think Dirk is going anywhere.
Yeah. Joe Johnson, I really don't know where he's going to end up. I mean, he could go to Miami. He could go to New York, I think. Is a very
New York,
Johnson.
But Bill Simmons made this point on the free agent summit last night. If Joe Johnson and Amari go back to New York, the team is basically the 2005 Phoenix Suns again, except they don't have Steve Nash.
But without Steve Nash, exactly.
Yeah, so explain how that is going to win a championship. It's not. You know, they might get back to the playoffs, but you can't expect anything out of that team.
Yeah, I don't think New York has a chance at winning the championship.
Let's say Boozer and Joe Johnson go to New Jersey. Then they run out of starting five with Devin Harris and Brook Lopez and whatever small forward they throw out there. That's an intriguing starting five.
That's not bad, actually. That's not bad at all.
That's definitely a playoff team in the East.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. And then they also got Derek Favors this year. So
yeah, right. Forgot about him.
That could be.
So maybe they don't go after Boozer at all. Maybe they let Derek Favors develop. But, you know, Derek Favors, by all accounts, is still a little raw and might need a year or two of seasoning.
He's going to need some time. I wouldn't be surprised to see, you know, if two big – I mean, I don't think New Jersey can attract any of the big names, but I could see them getting one or two of the smaller guys.
Right.
The Clippers also have cap space too.
Yeah, but the Clippers aren't getting anyone. They're hoping for Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay is their number one target right now. That tells you what the Clippers' chances of getting big guys are.
That's pretty troubling for a Clippers fan, I would say.
Yeah. I mean, unless the rumors that David Geffen is going to buy the team come to fruition, I don't think Donald Sterling is ever going to sign a big-name free agent.
Yeah, I actually saw someone on the ESPN page today say that they expected Donald Sterling to, like, outbid someone for a free agent. And I was like, are you kidding me?
No, he's not.
No chance. No,
please.
That's ridiculous. The other point I was going to make was that David Lee, you know, he kind of gets overlooked probably because he's a white boy and, you know, not supremely athletic. But I really like David Lee. And I'm willing to say that if I had a choice between David Lee and, like,
David Lee is good. I mean, David Lee, to me, he's like the rich guy's Nick Collison, you know. Or even
maybe
better than that, like the wealthy guy's Nick Collison.
Yeah, that's probably fair. Because I saw him put up 37, 21, and 10 on the Warriors. Now, granted, it was the Warriors, but 37, 21, and 10 on the Warriors is pretty impressive.
And really, on that New York team, though, he's the only big guy. No one else rebounds or does anything. So
he gets
all the numbers there.
That's true.
On another team, I don't know if he matches those numbers.
That's true. Maybe, so whoever goes to New York is kind of in it for the D'Antoni style, I'd say.
Yeah, and, you know, Amari would fit in nicely there, I think.
He would.
All right, let's switch gears a little now and talk about a new development that's possibly a big deal in internet coming up in the near future. Hulu today launched Hulu Plus, which is their pay service. It's $9.99 a month, just like Netflix. All you can watch, you get access to their entire library, basically, and you can stream it on your PS3 or mobile phone or whatever. My question to you is, Paul, would you pay for this service?
No, I definitely wouldn't. And the reasons why being, you know, I use Hulu occasionally. I think it's well done, well made for an internet site and all that. But I really don't feel like I should have to pay to watch TV.
Right.
You know? And it's their strategy might have been to get customers, get them loyal, and then make them want it. But for me, that just made me feel like I shouldn't have to pay.
I wouldn't pay for this either. And it's really troubling. I mean, Rupert Murdoch and Fox, they make some brilliant moves and they make some dumb moves. But I think this one is going to bomb on them. Because I don't think anyone wants to pay for television, you know, when you have all of these competing websites. Like, you know, the network sites themselves, NBC.com, ABC.com, you can watch them all for free anyway.
Yeah.
Or if you really want to, you can just go to BitTorrent and get them all that way. So, you know, it's hard to see anyone really, you know, the convenience does not justify the cost is what I'm trying to say.
Not at all. Yeah, and I think the big difference is that, you know, you are used to paying for movies, you know, one way or another. You're either going to go out and see them in the theater, you're going to rent them, but you're used to spending, you know, at least like $5-$10 to see a movie. With TV, I've never felt like I should have to pay, you know. Maybe if it's like a show that I never saw and I'm trying to catch up on and watch DVDs, maybe that's the only
Maybe
way.
If it's HBO and Showtime, you could see someone paying for it. But Hulu isn't offering that. They're offering basic cable shows, which most people get anyway. And if they, you know, if they really want them, they would watch them on their big screen TV and not on their computer.
Right, exactly. And if they also wanted, then they would just watch it on the site for free. So yeah. There's no reason to go to Hulu for it. So yeah, I think that's a bad move.
So yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I don't think this is going to turn out well for Hulu.
Have you ever had like a Netflix subscription or anything like that?
No, I've been tempted before. But
I have too, but I've never had it either.
Yeah, that's just another thing where, you know, BitTorrent is out there, so it's you know, it's hard. It's hard to get myself to pay for content.
Yeah, exactly. I think the other big thing is that when you're watching a TV show, the good thing I think for them is that if you're invested in a TV show and if this was your only way of seeing it, then I could definitely see, you know, paying for it. Because, you know, if you're watching, let's say you have Netflix, you know, odds are you're not consistently watching something that you have to see like every week or every, you know, month.
Right. You don't, not something you have to watch live.
Exactly. Yeah. Whereas, you know, the TV show, you know, if you miss a week of, say, 24 or, you know, Friday Night Lights or The Wire or something, you want to get out there and watch it immediately.
Yeah.
That would be in their favor.
The only reason to get. Get rid of your cable and go with these subscription services is if you don't watch live sports, if you don't watch mm-hmm. news, you know, things that you pretty much have to watch in real time. But, you know, that's not most of us. Most of us enjoy live sports and up-to-date news and, you know, watching things as soon as they come out. So it's tough to see these things really, you know, being successful beyond, say, a convenience thing, which Netflix is, you know, where they become necessities.
Right.
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon.
I completely agree with you.
Speaking of news, though.
Yes, go on to news.
The last time, it's been about a week since we recorded our last podcast, and the Al Gore sexual assault report has come out. And I wanted to read a little bit from the report because if you haven't read it, it's pretty damn juicy. So the report was broken by the National Enquirer.
Always a reputable source, by the way.
Yes, that is their reputation, that they are just a trashy, sleazy newspaper tabloid. But to be fair, they broke the Tiger Woods story.
True.
They also broke the John Edwards story. And so, you know, as far as sex scandals go, they've got the market cornered. They know what they're talking about.
They bring out the big bucks to pay for those stories. That is
so
true.
Yeah, I want to read a little bit from this report. The incident allegedly happened in 2006, Al Gore was at a hotel in Portland, Oregon, and he requested a masseuse. So the masseuse goes to Al Gore's room, and as soon as she gets in the room, Al Gore greets her with a warm embrace, and she quotes, "The hug went on a bit long, and I was taken just a bit aback by it." So there's your first sign. When you walk into the room and Al Gore hugs you for like 10 seconds and it gets a bit awkward, maybe that's your first cue that the massage isn't going to go as well as you thought.
But what can you do? You're a masseuse.
At this point, you know, he hasn't done anything illegal. You're a professional masseuse. You kind of have to still continue with your job, right? Then she went along, because Gore was a VIP and a powerful individual, and the Hotel Lucia had made it clear to me by inference that they were giving him the royal treatment. Gore said he was tired from travel and described in detail the massage he wanted. It included work on the adductor muscles, which are on the inside of the thighs. I mentally noted that a request for adductor work is a bit unusual, the masseuse told police, because it can be a precursor to inappropriate behavior by a male client. Now,
wait, by the way, I've only read the Cliff Notes version of this story, so this is news to me, too.
It gets juicier, Paul.
Okay, go
just
on.
You wait. Gore also requested work on his abdomen. When that began, he became somewhat vocal with muffled moans. I don't think anyone before has imagined Al Gore with muscled bones. He's, you know, famously the most boring politician of the last 50 years. So
somehow.
Yeah, and now this just sheds a completely new light on him. Moving on.
Yeah.
Gore then demanded that I go lower. When she remained focused on a safe, non-sexual area, Gore grew angry, becoming verbally sharp and loud. The masseuse asked Gore what he wanted. He grabbed my right hand, shoved it down under the sheet to his pubic hair area. My fingers brushed against his penis, she recalled, and said to me, "There!"
Steve, I feel like you're...
In a very loud, angry-sounding tone. When she pulled back, Gore angrily raged and bellowed at her.
I feel like I'm getting
like anything like Al Gore to you?
No, it doesn't. And I also feel like I'm getting like an erotic books on tape.
I know, right? Al Gore is a complete and utter freak. Who knew?
Yeah, that's bizarre.
Then abruptly, the former vice president changed tone. It was as though he had very suddenly switched personalities, she recalled, and began in a pleading tone, pleading for release of his second chakra there. Chakra, in Gore's New Age jargon, refers to the body's energy centers, which the masseuse interpreted as having a specific meaning. Gee, I wonder what that was.
Reading between the lines a little bit.
Yeah. So, you know, Al Gore, you know, continuing on, she wanted to end the session, but Gore wrapped me in an inescapable embrace and caressed my back and buttocks and breasts. She tried to get away, in the process calling Gore a crazed sex poodle, but the former vice president was too strong for her. A little later, she said, Gore produced a bottle of brandy and mentioned there were condoms in the treat box provided by the hotel.
He forced
an open-mouth kiss on me, she said. Oh, man. This is just crazy.
I don't know if this is appropriate for me and Steve.
Oh, they can take it. Do we have the explicit content tag on iTunes?
I think we do. We do have it on there.
Then that's fine. Then they know what they're getting into before this.
That's true. That is true. Yeah, I never knew Al Gore was such a freak. Also looks... I mean, he looks old to the point now where like all this would be very like dirty old man. I mean, it's dirty old man stuff anyway. Yeah. But when you look the way he does and his hair has gone all gray and then you imagine him saying these things, particularly that tone of voice thing, I think that's a whole nother level that I could not fathom. You know, like the Al Gore in my mind is still like really boring with brown hair.
Yeah. This just sounds, you know, talking about lockboxes and global warming and, you know, isn't the Al Gore everyone thought they knew. But, you know, as we all found out with Tiger, that you never really know a person, you know, and with Bill Clinton too, you know, it's naive of us to think nowadays that these guys aren't all just freakish freaks in bed.
Yeah. You
know, they're all sex crazed maniacs, you know, and we shouldn't think otherwise.
That's true. I mean, and to be fair, they're not, you know, I don't really think it's any of our business, but,
It's fun to talk about, though.
It is entertaining to talk about. I guess what I'm trying to say is that it's one thing if they're like trying to act a certain way, you know, for image purposes and stuff. And that's why I feel like Tiger's like, I'm not at all surprised that Tiger cheated and stuff. But the big thing is that Tiger has always carried himself in such a clean cut, like professional manner as a role model.
Yeah.
I don't see anyone really trying to tell their kids to, you know, be like Al Gore when they grow up, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone would care about this stuff if these people weren't projecting images like that, and they were for so long of a time, and when you hear this, it's just shocking.
Yeah, I think it's also because we always expected Al Gore to be such a boring old man, you know what I mean? Like, the way that remember he had that kiss with Tipper?
Yeah. That should have been in retrospect, that should have been our first clue that he was kind of a freak.
That's true. That was a good sign, I think. I didn't realize we threw behind Padilla today.
Vicente,
anyway.
Oh yeah, big headhunter Vicente. I don't have a problem throwing at him.
Well, he drilled Rowan in the face.
Yeah, just showed that.
Sorry, I'm still watching SportsCenter.
Yeah, me too.
But what I was going to say is that, you know, we have this like preconceived notion of Al Gore being, you know, so staid, so solemn that, you know, if Bill Clinton did something like that, like these days, we all just kind of laugh at it.
Yeah.
Whereas here, we're all just like utterly shocked.
It's all about expectations because we expect that out of Bill Clinton nowadays.
Exactly. Bill's hanging out with Mick.
Yeah.
At the soccer games.
Yeah. I don't know which one is more of a sex crazed freak.
That is true. They probably get along really well.
Yeah. I want to end this story with a quote in the Al Gore story, where the masseuse, when talking to her friends about whether she should report this to the police, one of her friends said that she should not, because the world will end because of global warming if Al Gore is put in jail.
That is a fantastic quote. Wow. I almost wonder if it was said in, like, seriousness. I don't think it was, but I could almost see it.
It's a good line, though.
It's a great line. Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, I wonder if he used that line on her. If you don't do
I wouldn't
what I
put
say,
it past him.
Global warming might, you know, get
if he,
br-
I mean, if he brought out, yeah, if he brought out the chakra excuse, then I wouldn't put it past him to bring out the global warming.
Global warming was probably next. That's probably like next one. Oh, good stuff.
Okay. Well, we're running pretty long now, so let's close out this week with the Mary Boff kill of the week. Paul, you want to go first?
Yeah, sure. So I'm proposing three tennis players to Steve because I feel like tennis players are always very attractive. The three choices are, did we ever pick a third one? Oh yeah, we did. Okay.
Yeah, we did.
Maria Sharapova.
What do you mean, Paul? I've never heard this before in my life.
I was talking. Maria Sharapova, Anna Kournikova, and the third one is Ava Ivanovic.
You mean Anna Ivanovic?
Anna.
Gee, this is tough. Maria Sharapova has been, you know, Sasha Vujacic has hit that. So, I mean, as hot as she is, I don't know how I would feel about that. Anna Kournikova, I think you have to fuck her, right? Because she's the gold standard for tennis hotness. I think I would have to marry Ivanovic, fuck Kournikova, and kill Maria Sharapova, as much as I hate to say. That's how much the Sasha Vujacic factor.
That's a pretty big factor.
Affects me. Yeah.
Yeah. Dang, we actually agree on one. This is rough. we might even, yeah. Well, you know, I just feel like Kournikova is, you know, she's gorgeous, but I don't think I would think she'd get to be a bit of a princess, and I wouldn't really want to marry Kournikova.
Yeah.
So I'll hit Kournikova, but then Sharapova, she just kind of annoys me. I've never really had a very good impression or vibe of her. I always thought she was kind of overrated.
Well, Paul, she makes every shot a power shot. So she's got that going for her.
Thanks, Steve. Thank you.
You're welcome. That,
she's also absurdly tall, which
she is. She's about 6'2", 6'3". So
I don't think that would be good for me.
Yeah, basketball player is really the only way she can go.
Exactly. So she's getting dumped, and I don't know. I like Ivanovic. I think she'd make a good wife.
Yeah, she's cute.
And she's hot.
Yeah,
I'm a fan of Ivanovic. I think mostly because
her tennis has kind of fallen apart lately. But who cares about that?
Tennis has fallen apart, but she hasn't she hasn't exposed herself to be annoying or to being really needy.
Yeah,
so in that sense, I'll take a gamble with the unknown, and go with Ivanovic.
All right. Well, we agree on that one. So one that I am proposing to you this week, Paul, is a 24-based Mary Boff kill.
Mm-hmm.
It involves Terry Bauer, Renee Walker, and Audrey Raines.
Oh.
Jack Bauer's three lovers.
First of all, Jack will probably kill you. For I mean, he will find you and he will kill you. So you might not even have a chance to get to your side. That said, that's a tough call, but I don't think it's that tough. I've never really found Terry Bauer to be attractive or to be, I don't know. I've just kind of been, I've been annoyed with a lot of Jack's girls, but Terry Bauer, I'm not, I mean, she just didn't really do it for me. So she's getting chucked. Renee, I actually kind of, I'm kind of attracted to Renee, I have to say.
Renee, yeah, Renee is kind of sneaky hot. I mean, you know, you don't think she's really hot at first, but it kind of sneaks up on you. She's attractive.
Exactly. And I don't mean that in like, because she's like super hardcore, like I don't, because she's a badass, I don't find that attractive. I just think that she actually is kind of attractive. Maybe if she put on a little weight, because she is deathly skinny.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if you ever see Annie Wersching in real life, like, not like in person, but, you know, out of Renee Walker persona,
yeah,
there's like, you're like, she needs to put on like at least like 20 pounds.
She is eating disorder thin, and
yeah,
it's a little scary.
Disgusting thin. And she's really pale.
Yeah, when you combine that with Renee Walker's craziness, it makes for a pretty, and you know, untouchable package.
Yes, exactly. I mean, and I've had many a talk with, you know, the pale aspect, but that said, I, Josh and I have had a few long talks about this recently. Josh likes pale girls. I'm just gonna throw this out there.
Oh, that's not a surprise.
So anyway, Renee, I will fuck Renee. I think that's the way to go. And
Mary
Audrey, up. I think just in general, Audrey would make a good wife. Like maybe not like in a super, super loving way, but just like a very like good temperament, you know, calm demeanor. And she's also like the least crazy, you know. She,
by the way, yeah, this has to be pre-China brainwashing.
Yes, exactly.
Rains.
Pre like dumbass Audrey Rains.
Yeah, non-lobotomized Audrey Rains.
Because yeah, if you have Audrey Rains right now, I don't think they're, you can't. Well, the other two are dead, so there's not really much of a choice. But yeah, I'll marry Audrey. What about you?
Okay. Gee, this is tough. See, I think Renee is just so crazy, and you know it helps in the show that she died anyway. So I think I'd have to kill her.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
And I'd marry Terry Bauer because she just seems like such, you know, she was the perfect
wife, mom.
You know, if she would be the one of the three that you would want to marry, I feel like. And if she didn't die at the end of season one, you know, maybe Jack's life turns out much better. Maybe it's not so shitty. So yeah, then I would fuck Audrey Rains.
Interesting. Okay.
That's my three.
I do think Terry would make a great wife and a good mother. And I think that's probably why that's the only one of Jack's girls that he actually, you know, married.
Yes.
I think she would just bug me. She would just annoy me. I'm not really sure why Audrey wouldn't, but you know, the thing is, we forget that Audrey was pretty independent and confident on her own in a different way, not in like the Renee way, but
yeah,
in her own. And it's kind of a shame that she got ruined by those damn Chinese, but
yeah,
you know, she would have been a good person there. Anyway, so that'll be all for this week.
If you have any good emails or Mary Boff kills or anything else you would like to suggest, you can email us at bnquo@gmail.com. And if you have a good email, we'll read it on the air. And if you don't, then we'll ignore it. So, you know, just
we're not actually going to get any emails. Let's see if you realize that, right?
I mean, well, you know, I've just got to throw it out there in case people want to email, you know. How else would they contact us? You know, it's not like everyone listening knows us or anything like that, right?
That's true. I'm not even sure how to check that email account, so I'm going to leave that to you.
Okay, yeah. If we get any good ones, I'll report back.
Okay.
But
no, just like Gmail spam or anything like that?
Yeah, no. It's got to be good stuff. So only email your quality stuff, guys.
Yeah, that sounds great. And I think that will have to be all for this week. We ran over our 30-minute allotment by almost 30 minutes. So
so much for keeping it short, huh?
We did our best. It's just not going to work out. Yeah. We'll hopefully have one up for you sometime in the middle of next week after the 4th of July festivities. And,
go America.
Go America. Hopefully we can get back on a weekend schedule because that would be ideal for everyone.
Yes.
But have a happy and safe 4th of July and a great weekend.
Happy Independence Day, everybody. Be safe.
Jesus, am I speaking Chinese?